Well, the first signs of my mother's illness were subtle and quite common. General forgetfulness. And then a pattern started to emerge. I'm realizing that now in retrospect. Back then it was, oh, Mom, please. You know, you asked that question before, you know, a half hour ago. But the first real red flag was when she lost her way in her neighborhood.
They used to call Alzheimer's and onset of Alzheimer's pre-senile dementia.
That's what she was diagnosed with. She was diagnosed with pre-senile dementia.
Which I always thought was such a demeaning term, you know, because...
We had no idea what the heck it meant, quite frankly. We had no idea what she had. No one had any idea about anything. And my father, of course, was being the primary caregiver. He's the one who took the brunt of it, 24/7 care, diligent, you can imagine. Especially in the Latino culture, you take care of your own, you don't go outside of it, and so on. So, you know, that's not uncommon for many other cultures. Except in the contiguous United States, perhaps. But you just took care of your own. There was no thought of doing it otherwise. But again, there was no thought of doing it otherwise because we had no other options. We had no information.
We see cultural differences. Mm-hmm. You know, we've just hosted our 70th Fearless Caregiver Conference around the country, and when we go to different areas, we see definitely see cultural differences where people say, I'm not at all going to look for help. This is my role. This is what I need to do, and I'm not going to open up to help. Have you seen any changes in the cultures from then to now?
I've noticed them in my life, without a doubt. Now they use the name Alzheimer's. Back then there was no such name. Now we know that it's a neurological disease. It runs in the family. It's nothing personal. Nobody's going crazy. You're losing your life backwards, which can be rather pleasant if assuming all the conditions are absolutely perfect. So if you have all things being equal, it would be rather nice, you know. But that's not reality. That's not the way life is. So it is a different atmosphere, but still there's some stigma, especially in the Latin community. There's a reluctance to go outside of the home for help. That's mainly because there's no information. And part of it is, all the reasons. I'm not going to get into why there is that reluctance. There are many aspects of culture that make that up. Unfortunately, there is more than an aspect of burden brought on by a deity, perhaps, you know, outside for yourself. This must be, my father would say, this is something I've done. I'm being paid back. And I would think...
He blamed himself.
Yeah, of course. Yes. Yes. He said, well, it must have been something I'd done. I mean, why is this happening? You know, and I always thought, living a life isn't enough? Isn't that hard enough? I mean, someone has to impose this punishment on you?
Where did he reach out to? You know, 40% of caregivers are passing away before their loved ones do, according to a recent Stanford poll.
My father did. He passed away before. Yeah,
where did he reach?
His immune system went south, and that was it. An otherwise very healthy man all his life. But he smoked 2 packs a day, but everybody did. Yeah, he came from that generation. He reached out for help in the, in the late stages, unfortunately. You know, when he started deteriorating physically to a point where he just couldn't do it anymore, and to a point where he was showing symptoms of nervous deterioration, nervous breakdown. I got him to a doctor. The doctor diagnosed him, psychiatrist. He said, this man has to be in a hospital, or he has to be in a sanitarium. He has to be in a special environment where he can recuperate. And that's when it was decided to put my mother in a home, in a state hospital, unfortunately. That was not a nice place to be. And my father was also in a state hospital. There were no resources. So that was the beginning of snake pit time.
What would you suggest to family members now when their loved ones are diagnosed with Alzheimer's, or they suspect
Alzheimer's? First of all, there's a possibility of being, more than a possibility of being diagnosed, as I'm sure the doctor will elucidate. He has the maddening habit of being articulate. they simply didn't get a diagnosis. We really didn't get a real diagnosis. No one said, this is what you have, and this is what's going to happen, and it's a collective effort. You have to make this effort as a family. Try not to lose patience with mom. She's going to ask the same question within 5 minutes, you know. She may start losing her memory entirely. She may become incontinent. No, the list is on and on and on. No one said that to us. Just to put mom away and to go visit her. That's it. And I saw Dad to just shrink it to that. And I actually had to take them both to hospitals individually. That was that's why I feel so strongly about it. That's an extreme example, it seems like, now. But it was quite common back then, I understand.
It just basically, the only choice is, okay, we have this situation, and now mom has to go into a home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the stigma, of course, is mom's crazy, so we have to keep this under wraps. Mom's acting strange. Let's not talk about it.
Now, I know you live close to your parents at some point during this. Did your dad accept your help at all?
He accepted mine. He accepted help from the family reluctantly. At one time, I even took my mother away. I was working, and I said, Dad, I want to take her with me. It was a situation where I would have someone look after her. I made that arrangement. That didn't last, and I said, you go. Go away. Take a break of 2 weeks. 2 weeks, that was unfathomable. 2 weeks is just 2 weeks is good. That's it. Don't worry about it. I can handle this. And I was much younger. You know, I had the strength and resiliency to do that. Didn't go very well. He returned after a few days. Maybe 4 or 5 days, that's it. He was back. Couldn't take it. That was his responsibility, and he was going to put a shoulder to the wheel. Meanwhile, he was falling apart.
This is mine. This is what I'm going to do. It's a labor
of
love.
Yeah, it's my responsibility. And this is the family, la familia. You stay within the family. It's the way you go out. So he didn't have the professional view. He didn't have that that overseer. You know, he didn't have that authority figure, quite frankly. The church didn't help. You know.
Was there any interaction from the church? Was there any interaction from social agencies?
Not
was there
no social agency involved. We asked the doctor, what can we do? And he says, don't worry, the hospital will take care of it. The hospital took care of it all right, so much so that I had to get my father out of that hospital.
What would you like to see for families in the same situation that you found yours in?
Early diagnosis, more information. For example, there's a wonderful website they can dial up easy, caringforallsalz.com. caringforalls.com as an example of information, a conduit to all sorts of information, help, resources, institutions, and so on, and even practical information for a caregiver, what to do under these circumstances.
As you go around and people are realizing, they're learning about your family story, are caregivers sharing their stories with you?
Oh yeah, it's a tsunami of information, a tsunami of sharing. They can hardly wait. Yeah, of course, we were at a forum in San Francisco talking, and the heads were nodding, and it was davening like this. I think they were writing down, they all had direct experiences with that. It's a terrible thing.
It doesn't
have to be today. That's wonderful. If my father had been around today, it would have been a different story.
That's one of the things that we've noticed at our Fearless Caregiver conferences over the last 10 years is that the best advice and support and the thing that opens their eyes is their time with their fellow caregivers. Not necessarily, nothing personal, doctor, but the medical, social professionals.
Well, they're involved with the community. They're not isolated. There are folks out there. It's like being in AA. I mean, there are other people with that. Yeah, of course, it's the same deal, man. You're not alone. When there's support, there's hope. It's as simple as that. And this website, incidentally, will give them great support.
I saw a CBS Cares piece where you spoke of AIDS in retirement homes, and we actually talked about that in our first issue of the magazine in 1995. I always call it the condo Casanovas.
Yes. I'm happy about one thing. They're busy and having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And the second, but I'm not so unhappy that, I'm unhappy that they didn't get the right information. You know, I'm not taking precautions, obviously.
Well, it seems to always be the communities that people think it's not you. Don't worry about it. Young women, seniors. Do you have any thoughts or any comments on that for the seniors that you talk to about?
Well, as I said, when they asked me to do that spot, become informed. I mean, there's really no excuse for it. The information is out there. We're rampant with information. I think what we're lacking is attention. But that's most of life, is paying attention anyway. And don't take it from me.
And showing up.
It's showing up, yeah. So just show up and do the best you can.
If you had one piece of advice that you would like to leave family caregivers with, what would that be? Just one pertinent piece of advice that you'd like to share.
I'm going to repeat that. This is the second time I've said this today. I don't want it to sound, at the risk of sounding esoteric. This is not esoteric. We only have two real enemies in the world, and that's ignorance and fear. That's it. The rest is, hoo-ha. There's no reason to be ignorant about the situation now. There's no reason to fear it. Get help. Simple.